Hello. I'm having so much fun. This is such a wonderful day. I have loved hearing these presentations. And I'm going to start with a confession. I'm talking about the business of poetry. And I thought I would have a hostile audience. I thought I would be introducing you to poetry. And I have decided immediately this morning that that was not true. That's not the approach we need to take. So I'm thrilled to be here and in community with you today. When Wayne asked me to talk about the business of poetry, I was like, oh, no problem. Because as poets, we have something we talk about often called po-biz. And I know all about it. But I did think about what is business. And I was glad to see the presentation right before mine with Rahman talked about business as busyness. I too went directly to the Oxford English Online Dictionary and found what is business. There are many definitions. This definition of business comes right above defining business as labor done by animals. It's from, we first see it in Chaucer in 1405, an action which occupies time and demands attention and effort, especially serious occupation or work as opposed to pleasure or recreation. So this labor as opposed to pleasure or recreation, I think, is where we get the term po-biz or poetry business. And I've been reflecting on this, and I think it's because there's an immediacy to poetry. Before I started having writing poetry as my sole creative pursuit, that and knitting and baking and gardening, but mostly poetry writing, I was interested in theater. And I took a theater course. And in this theater class, everyone had to do work in the theater staging plays. And I was super into, I liked seeing plays, I liked performance work. I found myself spending an entire weekend painting the black box theater black, doing another coat of black paint. And I thought, this is not the creative, inspiring, hands in the mud creation that I felt at a remove from creative work. Even though, of course, if you're gonna have a theater production, you need the theater to be painted and ready to go. So it's not without that part, but I felt it was at a remove. I had a similar experience on the soccer team. I liked playing soccer, but pretty soon I found myself going door to door selling very expensive candy bars to fund the soccer team, and I thought, this is not soccer. So I think one of the things with poetry is how immediate the experience of reading a poem or writing can be, that it doesn't have to have a lot of other parts to it. And I think this heightens the difference between the things we do in a creative space that are nourishing to our sense of self, that help us feel engaged in our emotional experiences and attend to our emotional selves, and that there's kind of a heightened contrast between that and the other aspects of our lives and the other labors we might undertake as part of them. So one of the things I think related to poetry, or the immediacy of poetry, is one thinks, okay, I like poetry, I'm gonna study literature, or I'm gonna read this book about poetry, which I teach right here in the English department. I think that's excellent to do. But I also think that there's that poetry can be very body-based, and we can experience it through kind of a transmission. You read the poems. I think the poems within themselves have aesthetics, have a value. The creative process of the composition of that poem is within the poem. So yes, you can read about it, that's a good thing, but just reading the poem directly is also a way that knowledge can be transmitted. And I feel this also I work in Japanese literature and haiku, and I think the same thing is, like, you can read poems in translation and you feel like they're at a remove, but if you read them, if you keep working with them and keep reading them and read more poems by the same author, then your distance to that work diminishes. So I think that's one help to us, the immediacy of poetry. So when we say poetry business or POBiz, it's really the social application of poetry. And that is everything from trying to get your work published. It's mostly about trying to get your work published, and maybe talking about poetry, networking, all of those things. It involves asking to be included and being rejected is really a big part of the business of poetry. It also, there's a pressure to commodify oneself as the author and commodify one's work, like to find, which we talk about as like finding where your work fits, but it's also asking you to put yourself in a category. And then to put yourself in the existing categories that you might not feel a real connection to. And so there's ways that those steps can be disruptive to your kind of the creative life you might have internally or your sense of self in the world. And I think another part of why we have this poetry biz that we think of as a burden is also that it's focused on promoting oneself and one's own work. And we envision ourselves as writing alone, but as I'm sure you're familiar, writing is often a collaborative endeavor. That's why we're at a conference sharing ideas, and you're writing drafts that other people read, and you're getting feedback on your work. It's a collective endeavor. But in the process of writing your poem and sending it out and trying to get someone else to read it, there's a promotion of self in that I think can be discomforting. So in the poets that we've heard of that have careers and are celebrated, manage somehow to navigate that divide, to maintain creative identity, to navigate that divide so they can maintain a creative identity and develop a body of work. I lived for a while in Tokyo, and one thing that I thought was interesting, in the United States, you submit poems to journals and hope to get accepted. In Tokyo, the poets that I knew would form a journal together and they would publish it themselves, which was in the United States, part of why you want to get into these journals is because they're prestigious and you need to get chosen to get into them. So if it's your friend that's publishing them, you have to keep that secret because that'll be a big problem. So I have just two more points to make. One is that we think of these stepping stones as having a career as a writer as part of kind of aspiring to have an income through your work, or kind of a way of kind of marketing your work. And that's a marker of success, that you get paid for your work, and that we should pay artists for their work. And I, of course, don't agree with that. I don't disagree with that writ large, but I'm thinking about kind of what I think we want more is that we have creative writing and poetry or artistic pursuit as part of everyone's life, and that any worker in any capacity should have time in their life for leisure and artistic pursuit, and that is what will strengthen us in our humanity. And I thought we would read a poem that maybe talks about this. This is Mount Tam, which is the picture I meant to show you while I was talking. And this is a poem by one of our local poets, Jane Hirschfield. And she, after her undergraduate degree, she studied, she did 1,000 days of Zen practice. She lives right near here and is a wonderful poet and translator. And I'll read her poem. Tree. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose. That great, calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. Already the first branch tips brush at the window. Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. Thank you.